Broadcasting simultaneously from H-Town and the City of Angels, welcome to another episode of the aptly named podcast about no topic and extreme specificity. I'm Josh, along with my co-host and resident boffin, Dan. Say hi to the folks, Dan.
Hey there.
Today, we're doing something a little different in that I'm going to be the resident boffin today. The ball is in my court. We're doing a marketing hot or not. I believe Dan has lined up a few audio advertising campaigns and wants my take on it. Is that right, Dan?
That's correct, Josh. I have five examples of what I would call audio marketing. They also happen to have some visual components, but we'll focus on the audio today since this is a podcast. So should we just jump right into it, Josh?
Yeah, well, why not?
Okay, so I'll play a clip, and I think you'll do the same, Josh. We'll see how it goes. I'm only going to play like, 5 or 10 seconds of it, and then I'll just let you chime in when you're ready. So first up, we have the McDonald's I'm Lovin' It jingle / song. I'm loving it.
I'm loving it. Okay. This one that we have linked here is the song, which I didn't realize existed until about 15 minutes ago. I knew the jingle. Everybody knows the ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. But I didn't realize that they had turned it into a song. The jingle itself is obviously iconic. It's a McDonald's jingle, so obviously it's going to go wide pretty quickly and be pretty viral. I don't think it's the best, especially since today they're not really using the I'm loving it portion anymore, which was kind of, the meat and potatoes of the jingle. They're really only using the ba-da-ba-ba part these days, which I'm not sure of the reasoning behind that. Especially with the guy they have saying it, it sounds kind of creepy, but I digress on that. I don't think it's the best fast food jingle. I think that one would have to go to Burger King with their hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us, have it your way at BK. I think that's probably the best one. I think it kind of sticks in your head more, and it's got more branding to it, whereas the I'm loving it, it could really be anything. Like if it wasn't for McDonald's and people didn't, readily associate it with the brand itself because of the brand itself, I don't think people would, think I'm loving it and think McDonald's otherwise. So that one, they kind of leverage the power of the brand rather than the power of the slogan itself. Do you have anything you want to say about it, Dan?
I think in general, whatever McDonald's did, they did a really good job of getting people to associate that hook with McDonald's, and had the staying power, which, is commendable, right? I just don't really like the hook that much. It doesn't make me want to buy food, and I think it's gotten kind of annoying after a while, but...
Yeah, and I did a little bit of research on it just in the 15 minutes since we started putting this one together. They paid $6 million for that, and it took 4 people to write. So was it worth it? Probably not. Again, it's not really the hook that stays. It's the fact that the hook is associated with McDonald's. I think McDonald's could have put pretty much any hook to it, and people would associate it with McDonald's because it's McDonald's. With the other one, the have it your way at BK, it associates itself with Burger King, not just because it's Burger King, but because the slogan or the jingle actually mentions Burger King. Plus it highlights a key product benefit of Burger King, is that you can go to Burger King and you can have your sandwich or whatever you order, however you want. So I think that one is a lot better than this one, and I'm gonna guess that they paid a lot less for it.
So you don't think McDonald's has gotten $6 million worth of good out of I'm loving it?
I think McDonald's would have sold $6 million worth of burgers without it. I think they could have put anything any jingle out there, and people would associate it with McDonald's just because it's McDonald's. Yeah. It's like Nike with Just Do It. I think Nike could have put pretty much anything out there. Now, the Just Do It slogan, if I'm correct, started a lot earlier in Nike's brand journey, if you will. So I think that's a little bit more associated, but McDonald's was already huge when they put out I'm Loving It. It's just like, you deserve a break today. You know, it's not really a good slogan. It's not really a great jingle, but people associate it with McDonald's because it's McDonald's.
Yeah.
So I guess on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably rate this a 4.
Yeah, I would say I would agree with that. From a non-educated consumer perspective, I just don't think it's like, it doesn't really attract me towards McDonald's.
Yeah, so if the goal for this episode is to say hot or not, I would say not.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one I have here.
Woo! Yeah, baby! This is the moment we've been waiting on. It's 2019, that means it's time to cut up. Guess what? The $399 special is back by popular demand. That's right, $399.
So this is a used car commercial, I think for somewhere in the southern United States. And it's interesting. So Josh, when you're ready, you can let me know what you think about this one.
Yeah, so this one is definitely creative. It's definitely memorable. Going off the audio component, I would say I don't think he really talks about where his dealership is or what his dealership is. He just kind of talks about how they have cars all shapes and sizes. I do think he mentions the $399 down, which is good.
He mentions that like five times.
Yeah, so that's good. As far as, I guess I'm probably not the exact target audience for this, but as far as making me want to go buy a car from this place, probably not. When you're trying to sell a car, that's something that a lot of people are really weary of. So any hint of sketchiness, you kind of want to erase from your ad campaign. This one, it just doesn't seem like a place that I would necessarily want to go buy a car for. But again, I don't think I'm the target audience for this. I think the target audience for this is people who just need a car. They don't really care what they get or where they get it from. They just need a car with minimum down. So I think I would actually say hot. Just because, keeping in mind, I'm probably not the target audience for this. And it's got some staying power. You're going to remember that ad. And it's really creative. So I would actually say that's a hot one. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah. Okay. So, this place is called Second Chance Auto Sales. Their website is jobiscredit.net. So, it definitely seems like they're marketing towards people who don't have a lot of money saved for a car. Do you think $399 down is actually a reasonable amount for somebody who might need to shop at Second Chance Auto?
I was thinking that too. I don't know that it is. I think someone who's going to shop at a place where job is credit probably needs zero down. So I'll agree with you that I don't think the promotion is great. But the overall ad creative, I think, is pretty decent. It's not what I would put out there, but again, it's memorable and it is creative.
Yeah, I would agree. It does stick with you, but it also kind of feels like I'm just getting yelled at, which I'm not a big fan of. So we'll proceed to another a car dealer. This is in Michigan, right, Josh?
Yes.
So I'll play this one. I'll play this one all the way through, and we can talk about it from there.
You should be driving a Kia from Summit Place Kia. Summit Place Kia.
Okay. So, car dealerships, you know, your Kia car dealership or your local Chevy dealership or Ford dealership, they're on what's called an advertising co-op, where they do develop their own advertising, but a lot of times they buy into the advertising that the brand makes. So that Kia jingle, I think, is used by pretty much any Kia dealership, along with the slogan, I want a Sia and a Kia. I think it's really creative. I think it's, the jingle itself is really great. I think it's a lot better than the McDonald's jingle for sure, because it sticks with you. You know, you think, obviously you think Kia because they say it right in the jingle. It rhymes. It's going to be, I mean, anyone who listens to this podcast, it's going to be in your head for the next week and a half. I guarantee it. So this one is definitely hot. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, just thinking about some of the car dealers from back in Michigan growing up on the radio. I mean, I still remember them like 15, 20 years later. So they're effective, if not somewhat off-putting, but they do the job for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about the fact that this one isn't the best example of the Kia jingle because they just kind of have to repeat the name of the dealer. There are others that are a little bit more creative because the dealers do kind of change the jingle a little bit to match their dealership. For instance, there's one in Lansing and Jackson in Michigan that says you should be driving a Kia from Kia of Lansing or Kia of Jackson. So that one's a little bit better. It doesn't just have to repeat the name of the dealer twice. But still, as the overall jingle, the generic jingle is fantastic in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
So I mean, we'll say hot.
Yeah. It's so dang catchy that I can't argue with it. You know,
no, it doesn't necessarily make me want to go out and buy a Kia because I mean, it's a Kia. But
Speaking of Kia, I saw a guy in like a Kia Forte on the road around here. I've seen him a couple times and he's got like a dark tint, like big wheels. He's got all kinds of like performance stickers and I'm sure it has no performance parts on it. And he's always driving it way too fast in the left lane, pushing and shoving people. And on the back deck lid, it says, it looks fast, but it's slow. And I was just like, it doesn't look fast either. It's a Kia. Anyway, side story. I just thought it was funny, but I've seen that guy a couple days in a row now around here. And it's pretty goofy.
Yeah, no, I mean, we could actually probably do a whole episode on Kia because they just did a pretty big brand overhaul. So that may be a different episode. But as far as the jingle goes, great. But again, doesn't make me want to buy a Kia.
Yeah. This next one is going to be Tim Apple talking about the iPhone X introduction. This will be a little bit long, so I'll start playing it. And maybe cut to a good bit.
iPhone 8, a new generation of iPhone, and a huge step forward. But we're not stopping there. We do have one more thing. Now, we have great respect for these words, and we don't use them lightly.
All right.
Our teams have
Apple is pretty famous for these product reveals. You know, Steve Jobs and the light wash jeans and the black turtleneck, you know, on stage. It's something that's been copied by pretty much all of their competitors, including Microsoft.
Yeah.
Microsoft does pretty much the exact same thing. Pretty much every tech company, when they do a new product launch, does one of these, you know, keynote kind of deals or whatever. I'm not a big fan of the way Tim Cook does it. He's a little bland. And then I guess this specific one for the iPhone X just proves, you know, in conjunction with Microsoft, that tech companies can't count. You know, Microsoft went from Windows 8 to Windows 10, just like, Apple goes from the iPhone 8 to the iPhone 10. I was a little confused by this one, and maybe it was just, you know, where the video cuts in. But it seems like he's doing a product launch for the iPhone 8, but at the same time doing a product launch for the iPhone 10. I don't really pay that much attention to iPhone. I'm not an iPhone person. I don't remember if those came out around the same time.
They did.
Okay.
So it's the same presentation.
That's not what I would have done from a branding and product launch perspective. I would have to do more research into it. Was the iPhone 8, you know, was it a decent amount cheaper, considerably cheaper than the iPhone 10? Why did they release them at the same time? This specific one, I wouldn't use it as an ad. I'm sure that they did a better ad for the iPhone 10. In fact, I know they did, because Apple always has pretty good ads that are usually, you know, shot on iPhone. Which we could, again, go into a whole episode about why smartphone companies think that the camera is the key selling point of a smartphone. I personally don't know anyone who's going out and buying the phone specifically for the camera, but again, that's a whole other topic, a whole other podcast. This one, I would have to say not. I think the presentation is a little played out. Not sure why they're launching two similar products at the same time. Not sure why they're launching, you know, the new iPhone and its successor at the same time. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. It doesn't really stick with you. The whole one more thing, apparently it has some significance to Apple. Again, I'm not familiar enough with Apple. Maybe, you know, the Apple fan out there know what that significance is, but I personally don't. So I don't think the one more thing is that great from a creative standpoint. What are your thoughts, Dan?
Yeah, so the one more thing was typically used as like, oh, by the way, at the end of the presentation, we have one more product to announce, and it's the biggest product of the whole event. So okay. They did it in 2007 with the original iPhone, and then 10 years later, they introduced the iPhone X.
Okay, that makes a little more sense.
So they're hearkening back to like the first real smartphone, with the iPhone 10, which is not a revolutionary product, which they're, of course, labeling it as a revolutionary product. I'm a noted Apple contrarian. I guess you could call me a hater, but I don't like the way they throw around the word magic, or they trump up the significance of the changes being made to their products. And then, of course, it's very easy to point out their like performance metrics, which aren't metrics because they don't actually have any units or compare to anything. They say the iPhone 13 is twice as fast at AI activities, and they don't tell you what AI activity or compare it to anything else, so it's completely useless data. I would agree with you in that this is like pretty drawn out. Like this bit continues for another minute, and then they just like throw in an image up of the iPhone 10, and that's about it. Like, it's not compelling to me.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the whole thing about the iPhone 10 was it had the screen that wrapped around the speaker, like what they called the notch, right?
Yeah, so like the screen to body ratio was much higher. So there's much less of the front of the body wasted on, you know, not screen.
No, that wasn't the first one where they just integrated the home button into the screen, was it? That was just the one that they extended it and it kind of wrapped around the speaker.
That was the first one where they got rid of the home button.
Okay.
The iPhone 8 still had the home button.
Yeah. There's not really much of anything revolutionary about that. The other thing that gets me about Apple, and again, we could go into a whole other podcast about Apple, but Android phones had had features like that for years by the time the iPhone 10 came out.
Well, I mean, there will always be that, but I mean,
so
Apple
to
usually
market
waits.
It as to market it as a revolutionary product, it just wasn't. I mean, I will give them that the original iPhone was indeed a revolutionary product. iPhone 10, not on the same scale by any means. So this is definitely a not for the marketing hot or not.
Yeah, which to be fair, I mean, the iPhone 10 did bring about the notch, which then everybody else adopted. It brought about the $1,000 price point, which then everybody else adopted. So it did do things to the market, but, you know, by far not as revolutionary as the original iPhone release. So I think we can move off of that before we spiral into a Apple hate session.
Yeah, that's a whole other episode.
So next we'll play the full, I think it's like a 30 second Maxell ad here.
The usual, sir.
Please.
Even after 500 plays, our high-fidelity tape still delivers high fidelity. Maxell, it's worth it.
Okay.
Alrighty, this one... definitely hot. It's completely iconic. You know, there's posters of this guy, the blown away guy. The overall creative is great with the guy, oh, the usual, sir. And using Flight of the Valkyrie is a very good one because that's a very catchy tune that a lot of people recognize. Again, that's going to be stuck in your head for the next week and a half. And every time it plays in your head, you're going to think, oh, yeah, that Maxell tape commercial. So it's got really good staying power, and it stayed in the culture a lot longer than the product itself has. You know, nobody really uses tapes anymore. So I got to give this a hot for sure. What do you think, Dan?
I would agree. I mean, high fidelity audio is usually a little more snooty. So he has his butler come up and put the tape in for him, and then it plays classical music. And
the wine glass slides back on the table.
Yeah, he's got the stemware. He's got the, like, $4,000 French chair that he's sitting in. So all of it put together, and then the catchphrase is, it's worth it, right? So it kind of indicates that, you know, they're marketing towards people with a little more money. I think it does a great job.
Well, and I wasn't around, so I don't know, but I'm guessing from the ad that Maxell tapes were probably a little bit more expensive than their competitors, which that's a really good way to turn that around. It's like, we're more expensive because, you know, our product lasts longer and it's got better quality.
Yeah, right. I think that's the whole point right there.
So, and you make really good points about, you know, the chair, the butler, and the fact that hi-fi is a little bit more snooty. I would not have even thought of that. So that's a really good point.
Yeah. I just like that. I had the poster. You know, everything about it is so clean and crisp and iconic. You know, it just makes me want to listen to music. So I think it's a great one. Next, we have common movie trailer tropes. So the first we'll play is a snippet of the Dark Knight trailer, and specifically around like the low bass, the way it's cut and edited. And so we'll jump into that and play maybe 30 seconds to a minute of it.
Thank you. ago, these cops and lawyers wouldn't dare cross any of you. I mean, what happened?
So what are you proposing?
It's simple. Kill the Batman. Here's my card.
Bruce, this is Harvey Dent.
Rachel's told me everything about you.
I certainly hope not.
You once told me that we'd be together. Did you mean it?
Bruce, don't make me your only hope for a normal life.
Okay, I stopped it there. But we know the, you know, it pretty much gives away most of the plot of the movie. The soundtrack has the super low driving bass and the whoosh, right? The kind of descending bass tone. Got the iconic Joker laugh in there. Like, all of the bits and pieces put right after each other that kind of just give you the whole thing in a 2.5 minute trailer. So what do you think about that?
So the sound effects and the way the trailer cuts around from scene to scene, those are really designed to create a feeling of suspense in you and make you kind of have to see the movie. It's kind of like an unanswered question. People don't really sit well with unanswered questions. You're right that the trailer kind of gives away the whole movie. Rewatching it, I kind of was like, yeah, now I've kind of, you know, seen the whole movie. I don't know if I'd feel that way just seeing the trailer for the first time and not having seen that movie about a billion times. It's The Dark Knight, so it's, you know, a pretty iconic superhero movie that just about anybody who likes superhero movies has seen literally a billion times. But I think the trailer does a really good job of making you want to go see the movie. I think that it's kind of that kind of, we'll call it an aesthetic, has been overdone with the low bass and the shots panning around, cutting around all the time, and the whoosh, 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 whoosh between shots. I think at the time that was pretty good. I don't think a lot of trailers were doing that at the time. But now, pretty much any action movie, that's the style of trailer they have. So it's getting to be overdone, but I think for the time, that's a pretty hot trailer. It definitely I've seen the movie a billion times, and I think after this, I'm probably going to end up watching The Dark Knight. So,
yeah, I would agree that in 2008, this was probably a much better trailer. Now it's just kind of like, okay, whatever. But, I mean, also, you know, given the time and having had Batman Begins and kind of knowing that, you know, you're really getting to see a more realistic, really gritty, you know, Batman character with Christian Bale, it must have been very exciting. So
the other thing you have to remember is the MCU wasn't a thing yet at that time.
Right.
So those were really the only superhero movies around.
I think only Iron Man was out.
Exactly. And the Dark Knight trilogy was and still is a lot darker and grittier than a lot of the superhero movies we get now.
Right. Because it's the DC universe.
Right. Well, and I think the DC universe has been trying to recapture that ever since. And it's just, obviously, it's not been good. So, but that trailer itself is a very good trailer, I think. And especially recently, I am not a fan of trailers. I think they cherry pick the best parts of the movie, get you all excited for the movie, and then the movie's a huge letdown. So I don't really watch trailers anymore, especially for movies that I'm excited for.
Yeah, I usually watch like one trailer and then don't watch any more after that.
So I think you've got a couple more for us.
Yeah, so next up is a compilation of Don LaFontaine voices. So we'll just go through, you know, 30 seconds of those. They're all kind of repetitive, but basically the man was a living legend. So we'll dive into that right now.
In a world
in the year 2017.
In a time of tradition.
In a city where anything can happen.
War that isn't his.
Every day in New York City.
On the Miami Police Force.
In the deep south.
From the sewers of Gotham. From the rooftops of Gotham. Above Gotham.
Within this skyscraper high above the city.
In a town driven by competition.
In a world that's powered by violence.
It's Christmas Eve in L.A. On New Year's Eve of the last decade of the 20th century.
All right, I'm cutting it there. You've pretty much heard all of them in the first 30 seconds of that. But, there was a time, where Don LaFontaine was the guy for TV trailers, movie trailers, ads, whatever. I think I saw that he did like 5,000 movie trailers. But like, what do you think? What is it about him that made him so iconic?
It's the voice. And again, it kind of has the same effect as that low driving bass music in the Dark Knight trailer, where it gives you kind of a suspense. It also brings you into the trailer. That was the style of the trailers, probably up until he stopped doing them, was to have, you know, the scenes with a voiceover rather than so much dialogue and just actually showing the scenes with some music behind it. To have the voiceover to carry you through the trailer. And you have to remember, when he was doing trailers, they weren't the big event that they are today. Now, today everybody waits around for the teaser trailer and the 30-second teaser that plays during the Super Bowl and all of these different kinds of trailers, or, you know, the theatrical trailer. Trailers are a huge event for some reason nowadays. Back then, they weren't quite as big of an event. They were just kind of something that you endured before you got to watch your movie. So for him to do, I think you said, over 5,000 trailers and have them all be kind of the same kind of format, they didn't have to get as creative as they do today, because people weren't really, you know, looking for, you know, like there wasn't as much noise in the trailer world. You didn't have to do as much to stick out, because people weren't really paying attention to the trailer. The trailer was kind of just something that you did. And now, like I said, it's a huge event. So to have the same guy doing all of the trailers wasn't as big of a deal as it would be today. And obviously he's iconic. You know, every time anybody thinks of a movie trailer, they think of In a World. So I would give those, for the time, hot. Now, I don't think that they would be as successful in the trailer scape of today, unless somebody was doing it, you know, as an ironic thing. I could see maybe a Deadpool movie doing that as like an ironic thing. But I think at the time, extremely hot.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, you know, back then in the 90s or 2000s or 80s, you know, the trailer might come up on broadcast TV, or it might come up before your movie at the movie theater, but you couldn't really go back and replay it unless you were at the movie theater all the time or something. And now, I would say a lot of people consume trailers on YouTube, even new ones as they're released, and so they can replay them as much as they want. They can scrutinize the details. There are trailer react videos, where they take 20 minutes and break down a 30-second trailer scene by scene. So it's definitely a different, like you said, trailerscape at this point. So,
The other thing you have to consider is, at the time they were doing these, trailers kind of had a captive audience. Because on VHS or even early DVDs, you couldn't just skip to the menu or skip to the movie. You had to watch trailers. Nowadays, unless you're going to the movies or you're watching, you know, regular TV with commercials, nobody watches trailers. Like, movies have to make their trailers to the point where people want to seek them out, want to watch the trailer.
Yeah.
So they can't just do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, like all of these could, because all of these, you know, again, captive audience, you have to watch these before the guy finally says, and now our feature presentation, which is a phrase that a lot of people, you know, probably even our age, don't remember our feature presentation. Now you can just, if you pop in a Blu-ray, I don't even know if it shows trailers anymore. I think the menu just comes up and you just click play movie.
Yeah, it depends on what distributor puts out the Blu-ray,
at any rate, even with DVDs, you can just hit the menu button on your remote and skip through all the trailers and just watch the movie.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Don's voice, like you said, was kind of it. Like it's still very satisfying to listen to. He was eventually replaced by Hans Zimmer, I would say, from a soundtrack perspective.
Right. Well, I mean, at the beginning, it was good on whoever picked him out. And at the beginning of that kind of format or trailer, it was good on whoever picked him out to, you know, hear that voice and be like, okay, this is good for our voiceover. This is going to grab people's attention. But, you know, probably, you know, after he did a few thousand, you know, people heard that voice and like, okay, this is going to be good. Yeah, this is going to be a good movie. I got to see this movie. So it wasn't even so much the trailer probably after a while that brought people in. It was just that voice. Like, okay, people are associating that voice with, okay, I've heard this voice in trailers before, and it's always been a really good movie, like, you know, Terminator or Die Hard or, you know, one of those movies. So now I hear this voice, I'm like, okay, this is a movie I'm going to go see because it's got this voice for the trailer. And it may not even have been a conscious thought. It was probably just something subconscious. Like, you heard that voice, and you associated it with a good movie.
Yeah. So I did have a third link in there. I don't think it's really worth playing it. I just had the Die Hard trailer, which in that compilation, there was part of the Die Hard trailer in it. But I think that was all of the examples that I wanted to bring up for this session. So any other final thoughts?
I was just going to say, if any of our users have, you know, any that they would like us to do a hot or not, any ad campaigns that they really like or maybe really hate, want to hear us rip apart, you can put them in the comments or send them to us and we can maybe put together another episode of this.
Yeah, we should probably set up an actual like email address for people or a Twitter account or something. We'll do that eventually.
Yeah, maybe.
So, okay. Have a good one.
Alrighty, everybody. Have a good one.